Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Lucretia Hayes, your host of The Awakening, and I'm excited to be with you guys again this week discussing some very important information, some empowerment, and just some wisdom about living this life. I mean, you guys know, like I know, that life can get difficult. Sometimes we just feel like we wish we had a how-to manual step by step so that we wouldn't make any mistakes. But I'm not sure about you guys, but if you've ever bought a piece of furniture that you had to put together yourself when you got it home, even though they had pictures and they had words and it was simple step by step, you still somehow found a way to make a mistake. Or maybe you didn't do it. Maybe your husband or, you know, a friend or a brother or somebody called themselves helping you out, and somehow something still kind of got lost, got messed up. So life, you know, in life you make mistakes. However, what we intend to do is help you make fewer mistakes so that you will have fewer distractions, you know, in reaching your destiny. That's important. I think a lot of people don't realize, and one of the things I think that we have a passion for at this show is helping people to realize that everything that you spend your time and energy on that's not pushing you toward what you're destined to do is pulling you away from it. See, this body, this life, everything about us was given to us in the measure we needed to do what we've been called to do. And that's why we don't have time to waste. We don't have energy to waste. And God knows there's nothing worse than getting into a position where you're tied to someone who just can't go where you're called to go. I mean, it can put you in a spin. It can put you in a circle that seems like will never end. And God has to rescue you. At least that was my story. He had to rescue me because I'm kind of hard-headed. You know, it took me more than just being hurt to walk away. So anyway, today's show is called Spiritual. The reason why I didn't say saved is because, well, one day I'm going to explain that to you. I'm going to go into it a little bit today, but there's a reason why I didn't use the word saved. So everyone is saved. Please don't get offended. You will understand better in the by and by. But it's spiritual, single, and sexually frustrated. Because if you're actually doing the spiritual thing right, then there are going to be some days when you're just sexually frustrated. You want to be loved. You want to be held. You want to be intimate. But there's no one there to be intimate with or that you should be being intimate with. And it creates a whole problem, a cycle of problems, in fact. Before we get into the show, though, I want to make a few quick announcements, and then we're going to get into the show. And, guys, listen, if you called in, definitely do not be afraid to press that 1, and I will put you on the air. I love to hear you guys' opinions. I want to know what you're doing. I only know so much. You know as much as you know, and the next person knows as much as they know. But together, we create a full picture that can help someone. Some people I'm called to help. There are some people you're called to help. So definitely I want to hear your story and how you're dealing with or did deal with being single, being spiritual, and dealing with the sexual frustrations of just being person, you know. But before we get to that, I want to invite you guys to my website. It's LucretiaHayes.com. There are a lot of classes being added. I'm not quite sure why I didn't do this sooner, but I do a lot of training on social media, on writing, on publishing, on starting businesses, and also some empowerment classes dealing with sexual abuse, dealing with physical abuse. And the list goes on. So day by day, they're adding more classes as I'm sending them the information and everything. So guys, definitely catch the class schedule that's on the very first page, the landing page. It has the class schedule on it. And also, I wanted to make you guys aware that I just released a new book last week. It's called Earmageddon, Silencing the Earbenders. And I want to plug that book really quickly, and it's going to make sense with this show because the point of the book is how often other people and their opinions and their ideas and what they think our life should be like ruins our lives. It's actually amazing how many relationships are buried because of gossip, because of vicious rumors, because of our parents not liking someone or our coworkers or our friends not liking someone. And we've allowed outsiders to bring their influence into a situation that's supposed to be intimate. So Earmageddon is actually a book that's written to help empower you to realize what you're building and to make a conscious decision, because oftentimes we don't plan necessarily to fall in love and get married. We're always looking for it, hoping for it, but when we finally meet the person, we meet them, and then we start this romance thing, and then, you know, it goes where it goes. And when you leave a relationship like that, there's no boundaries, there's nothing there to protect it. Oftentimes it ends up going down the pit, you know, because a relationship has to be nurtured, it has to be guided, and it has to be protected. So anyway, definitely get a copy of Armageddon, Silas and the Earbenders. Great book. Now, guys, this show is actually hard for me to do, and this is one of those shows I just wish my co-host was here, Armitria, because she's just so outspoken, and she doesn't mind saying the things that sometimes I just be thinking, but I don't really want to say out loud. And one of those things that we're talking about today is dealing with your sexual frustrations. And so, of course, I'm probably going to be blushing. I'm glad that we're on the radio so you guys don't have to see it. But I'm going to try to keep it as straight as possible. So forgive me if I offend you a little bit by using the words that I use, but it has to be said the way it has to be said. Recently, I put out a notice on Twitter for people to send me topic information or anything that they would like to hear, you know, about on the show. And I had an overwhelming number of friends and people who are not even my friends talk about dealing with, you know, their sexual desires. There's a lot of women, and maybe some of you that are listening, have been raised to believe that a woman shouldn't even have sexual desires, that she shouldn't want sex. You know, that's just something she got to suffer through or something like that. And so for some women, just to feel sexual desire makes them feel dirty. It makes them feel somehow wrong, as if they've done something wrong already just because they want to have sex. Well, that's absolutely not true. That's the first point I want to make. You know, the second thing is there are a lot of women who, you know, are forcibly divorced, you know, forcibly single. They didn't want to be away from their spouse or whatever the case may have been, but they were left, you know, without a choice to be single. And so for these people, again, they're trying to adjust to life without whoever they love, life without the intimacy and whatever else is in their marriage. And then on top of that, they still have their same responsibilities. And, guys, I'm going to tell you something. If you think your load is heavy being single, try being married and then being single again when you had a point in a time when you had someone there to help you. You know, when you're married, you guys are doing it together at the house. You're doing it together with the kids. You're doing it together with the job and the bills. You know, it's a effort, a team effort. But when you're forcibly single after being married, now all of the burden of running that household falls back on you. You know, the kids mainly are going to fall back on one or the other of you. And so, you know, you only have your one job, your one income now, whatever the case may be for that. And there are some people who, when they lose their spouse, they also lose their income because they were not a working party in the relationship. So, I mean, there's so many dynamics. And people talk about every other dynamic, but they don't want to talk about dealing with the sexual aspect of it. How many of you know that you can literally sexually miss somebody? I mean, there's been times that, guys, you are honest, there's been times you've laid in your bed by yourself at night, feeling kind of hot and bothered, and you started rethinking some things, and the next thing you know, you're thinking about calling people, or you maybe even call some people and text some people or Facebook some people because you're lonely. And now all of a sudden, even though you know you left this person because they were cheaters, liars, lazy, just abusive, or just horrible people in general, it was the reason why it ended. Now all of a sudden, you can't even remember that. You just remember the sex. You just remember the intimacy because your body is speaking louder than your mind. And that happens. That happens. It's okay. If you don't get nothing else out of this show today, I want you guys to get this. You got to drop the judgments about your life before you can get free from whatever it is that's causing an interruption in between you and your destiny, anything that's causing a distraction from you doing what you're called to do, anything that's in between you and God. In order to get rid of it, before you can do any of that, you have to take ownership of it, and you have to quit judging it. The reason why a lot of us won't say, I'm going to give you a perfect example. I've heard people admit to almost everything, but I almost have never heard a person admit that they're a liar. People just don't say, oh, well, you know, God, blah, 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 delivered me from lying. I was just a big liar or something like that. People don't say that very often because in their mind they judge that to be just horrible, and they believe in their mind, they got it figured out. Now, when I say that, nobody's going to ever trust me again, yada, 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 whatever. Same thing with sex. A lot of times we don't want to admit that, especially as women, and I know I have some men on the line, but especially as women, we don't want to admit that, you know, hey, I'm getting to a place where I really want to be intimate with somebody. And so we hide it, and we hide it, and it grows because we're hiding it and not dealing with it. And then eventually some slick dude comes walking up, you know, at church after church or at work or wherever you may be, at the restaurant, at the movie theater, you out and about, he's out and about, and y'all bump paths. And it's like, what you don't realize, ladies, is your body is so powerful that when you're in heat, it's not much different than a dog. Have you ever noticed when a dog goes in heat, every dog in the neighborhood finds out within a day? I mean, you look up and you got a dog walking down the street, and you got about 15 following right behind it. Dogs that's been in a cage, they never escape. All of a sudden jump the fence or dig under because they smell something. Guys, you're the same way, ladies, in the spiritual realm. When you're in heat like that, when you're hot, when you're bothered, you're not thinking, so it makes you a target if you're not thinking. And then your body is giving off these sonic booms that's calling. And you have to be in a position to where you don't allow that to overtake you and get you into a situation. Guys, in about a few minutes, I'm actually going to ask you guys to press 1 and sound off about what your testimony is or anything that you have along these lines that you want to talk about or even a question that you may want to ask, because it's so important that we actually discuss this matter as it stands, not as we think it ought to be. See, at church, they have to tell you what it should be. Here's the thing. Nothing in this life is what it should be all the time. You know, if that was the case, then Christ would never have had to come and die, you know, on behalf of our sins, on behalf of us, to put us back right with God. We had to be put back right with God because we were unable to put ourselves back right with God. You understand what I'm saying? So don't feel bad if you're struggling. Some of you are struggling and you're going, you know, crazy on the inside because you're holding on, but you're not holding on well. It's actually affecting your quality of work, your personality, how you are with your family, your friends, and maybe even your children. Some of you are not holding on. You're pretending, but you're dipping, tipping, and slipping. And that's okay. I did that too. And I'm not saying it's right. I said that's okay. It's okay wherever you are, because wherever you are is where you need to be right at this moment for you to get what you're going to get tonight, today, and then for you to get free. The thing about this is this. When I tell you guys this is a no-judgment zone, let me explain why. Because there's just not a whole lot that I hadn't done. And whatever is left after what I've done, I've seen it or I've heard about it. I've dealt with people who are going through it. So then there's no room for me to judge you. And you guys, though, have to make the commitment to stop judging yourself. The Bible tells us not to judge a matter before a season. It's a reason for that, because right now in the beginning, you know what I mean? It's fall. It looks like everything is dying. But that's just that season that you're in, but you're getting ready to go into winter. And then after winter comes spring, and then after spring comes summer, and that cycle continues to everything. And every purpose under the sun, there's a time. And so what happens is for us is we feel like, oh, it's just wrong for me to want sex. No, God gave you your sexual desire. He gave you your sexual organs, and he created sex for you to enjoy. Listen, he could have easily made sex no different than inserting a tampon. That don't feel good. Getting a pap smear, that definitely does not feel well. If he had wanted it to be just for practical purposes, he could have left it that way and not took out all those sensors and all of that stuff that's going on that makes it feel absolutely mind-blowing and amazing. It's a reason why God wants. It's a form of worship. And when you're laying with whoever you're with, I mean, you're actually supposed to be with, when you're married and you're laying with your husband or your wife, you're actually engaging in the highest form of worship you can actually engage in. That's actually it. There is nothing above that. Now, to God, when we worship him, it's intimate, it's pleasurable. And a lot of people hear that and they got a dirty mind and they don't understand that all pleasure is not sexual, but God created sexual pleasure between a man and a woman to mimic the pleasure that he gets when we worship him, and I think that's deep.
Because honestly, when you worship God, you open yourself all the way up so that he can know you with your permission. See, he knows everything about you anyway because he's God. But he wants to know everything about you because he's your father, which means that requires you giving him permission, you opening yourself up and saying, God, know me. That's what worship is. Okay, sex is the same exact thing. You're opening yourself up to another person. You're taking in every single aspect of who they are, and you're sharing every single aspect of who you are, and there's a beautiful intermingling that gives God glory. That is what sex is supposed to be. It's supposed to be the bomb. It's the reason why people get lost right there, because they don't have the knowledge. There's a lot of things we get before we get the knowledge of them. Case in point. First time I was able to start keeping a car, I had a boyfriend. I got a boyfriend young. That was unfortunate. But anyway, he had a Camaro, and as if it wasn't fast enough, he go put, a lot of you, you're not going to understand all of this because I don't just necessarily understand it. I just happened to been there. But he put a 455 or 454 motor in his car with a four-barrel carburetor, and he had it all souped up in it. And the pipes going out the tail, and he told me, good and straight, before he let me keep the car, you know, don't drive it over 70. I know you're going to drive a little fast, but don't drive it over 70. Don't do this, don't do that, and don't go out of town in it, yada, yada, yada. Well, I was young, and he didn't tell me why I shouldn't do any of these things. He just told me not to do it. So here I am, no sooner than I hopped in that car and got rid of him. I did everything he told me not to do because I didn't know it was a reason why. So about 15 minutes down the road, after I done got the car up to 140 and counting, I'm like flying. I can't even catch my turn. I had to just keep on going and slow down. I ended up on the side of the road running hot, radiator overheated because I had the car, I had the keys, had the freedom to use it, but I really didn't know what I had under my hood. I really didn't understand what was going on with all of that and what all work he had to do to it. Same thing with sex, guys. We start feeling sexual desires well before our minds are capable of truly understanding what they mean. And if nobody's there to guide us through it, see, you got to tell your kids sometimes more than, oh, just don't do it because it shouldn't be done, or God say don't do it. See, God don't even do us like that. He don't just say don't do this. He actually gives you reason. He already trusts you to trust him to know that he's not going to withhold any good thing from you. So if it's something he tells you no to, it's because that it's not a good thing for you. It's just something that's going to hold you back or be a hindrance somehow. So he tells you no, and he wants you to know that if he says no, it's a reason. And then he'll show you the reason in your obedience, or you will find the reason through your disobedience. Guys, listen, when you're single and you're trying to live godly, and you're trying to please God, there's already so many other aspects to consider. For a lot of us, it's like, well, you know, if I have sex or if I don't have sex, if I do this or if I don't do this, it's just something else I got to pray about. You can get that way if you're not careful. And you'll find yourself, you know, dipping and dabbing in and out. It's a lot of people who are single, and they look up and they say, I've been single 10 years, but in 10 years you done had five lovers, different people, one-night stands, people in and out of your house. And for some people it's not that bad of a number. That's why I used a big number. I didn't want to catch nobody with five and somebody be like, oh, God, I had 10. I'm the worst person in the world. So I don't want you guys going through that. So we're going to use an outrageous number. You've had 45 men in 10 years of you say being single. That's not being single. You know, and that's not allowing yourself the ability to gain control over your sexual desires. Now, one last thing I want to hit on before I open up these lines, because this part is also important. When I was younger, I thought, once I found out, I was like, okay, so sex before marriage is wrong. I used to hate when people try to teach me something, because once you teach me, it's like, oh, now accountable for it. I hadn't even read that part of the Bible yet, but I just knew once you know something, you're supposed to do better or something. So I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to marry somebody. I don't know if they're good in bed. I don't want to do this and do this and do this, but there was a reason for it. And so I thought, though, that getting married would heal my random sexuality, so to speak. And I say that not that I like women or any other animal or nothing weird like that. What I'm saying when I say random sexuality is sometimes I want to be with my husband, but other times I met guys and I thought, well, shoot, I did get married young. I should just, man, I want to date. I want to be dated. I want to do this and do that. The things we tell ourselves and the lies that we entertain, not from the devil, but led away from our own selfish desires that entice. Y'all know what the book of James say about temptation, you know, the things you say. So I found myself being unfaithful. Me, the person who can't stand disloyalty, was being disloyal. I could not believe it when I really came face to face with myself. And so that leads me to this last point that I want to make. If you think that you can leave your sexual desires and leave all of your sexuality uncontrolled and just let it do what it do, and then you're going to get married and it's going to get better, you are absolutely wrong. And I stake my name, life, and reputation on that. You are wrong. Marriage by itself is not going to fix a thing, not a thing. If you are always, and for that matter, let me go on and take that a little further. If you're an overspender, if you're always spending more money than you make, borrowing too much and all that, getting married ain't going to solve that. You are still going to be overspending. And now you not only are you going down, you're taking somebody else down with you. If you're mean and grouchy and don't want to listen and all of this because you see one, you got to be tough, you got to be bad, you got to do all of this. If you like that before you get married, getting married is not going to solve it. You're not going to automatically wake up one day and say, oh, I got a man now who's going to help take care of me and who's going to be there for me and blah, 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 and I can calm down and it just happens. Whew, wouldn't life be great if that was the case? But it's not, guys. Regardless of what you do, you got to deal with how you feel and what you desire. For some of you, you say you desire sex, but really all you want is a hug. You want to know that there's somebody there with you, that there's somebody that you can depend on, that you're not in this lonely, cruel world alone. That's what you're looking for. For some of you, you're looking for a mental connection. You keep making sexual connections, but your mind is just dull. You're bored. You need something else. And so because we have allowed our sexual desires to be so loud, we're missing what we really need. We're missing those spiritual and soul desires. We're missing what our heart wants. We're missing what our mind needs. We're missing what our spirit has to be fed. Do you know that when you get married as a woman, that you are required, especially if you're saved, to submit yourself to your husband? We're not talking about him submitting to you because we understand that, but as a show for women, I want you to understand that you're having to submit yourself to whatever man it is in front of you that you're planning to marry. Now, really think about that. Do you trust him to pray for you? Do you trust him to lead you somewhere other than to the bedroom or other than to the bank? Can you trust him with your children? Can you trust him with your legacy? Can you trust him with your dreams? See, when your body starts craving sex, it's time for your mind to ask the tough questions, and it's time for you to face the answers, the true answers. See, the truth and facts are different. Facts can change. All through school, I always heard nine planets. That's what we was taught. Then we had the little song about it. My very energetic mother just made us nine pieces. And we go through that, and they tell us all of the nine planets. Now there's an innumerable amount of planets. They find the new planets all the time. So the facts change. Here's the truth, guys. When it comes to who you are, your identity is sealed in God. He is the maker, the creator, the father. He made you fearfully and wonderfully with purpose. I love what he told Jeremiah. He said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb of your mom. He said, and I ordained you to be a prophet. So he already had this big thing planned for this man. That don't mean his life was easy. I'm not telling you it's going to be easy to lay in bed by yourself, especially when all your friends married, half of them pregnant, a few of them out there just doing it, and then they got new stuff all the time, different guys all the time. They never bored. They never around. You can't hardly get them on the phone. Yes, it's going to get tough, but you got to learn to keep your eyes on the prize, because I'm going to tell you one thing I learned the hard way. At one point before I married the husband that I recently lost, and that's a whole nother story, I had went almost 12 months with no sex. So as soon as he got out of jail, we got married 2 weeks later, and it was amazing. It really was amazing. It was just like, this was worth waiting for. But I wonder oftentimes, you know, like, how did I ever really enjoy sex with someone when I was already just so sexually active? You know, when I got married to my second husband, we didn't even have sex. We were so tired, we went to sleep, and it wasn't nothing important anyway because we had been having sex, so nothing changed, and the marriage didn't last. You know, now this last one didn't last either, but it did not end because of cheating. It did not end because of sexual issues or anything like that. So I do thank God for that, the lesson in it. There's a good reason to wait, guys. It's a good reason to wait, whether you're male or female, because you are a king and a queen, and ain't none of y'all pressed one yet. But you are a king and a queen. Your body is beautiful. It's a temple. It's something amazing. I mean, if somebody gave me a $10 million diamond, I'm sorry. Everybody can't look at it. I'm not taking it off my finger. What do you mean? Let me see it from here. You know, I'll wave it at you, but you're not taking my ring off my finger. It's precious. You don't have $10 million diamonds laying around everywhere. Some of you lay your bodies around everywhere, just anywhere. You're not thinking because you're feeling. Guys, emotions and feelings are great, but they are not meant to run our lives. They're not, you can consult them, but if you put them in a pie chart, they don't supposed to take up even 50% of your life. They need to be in proportion to everything else that you must weigh. It's good to feel good about a decision you make, but let it be a spiritual feel-good before it's an emotional feel-good. Let it be something that's going to lead you towards somewhere. It's important, guys, that you guys listen to what I'm saying. It's so important. I'm going to say this, too. I've never said this on the show, but I'm going to say it today. 2006, some of you already know this part of my testimony. My doctor gave me 3 months to live. Well, of course, I'm still here, and I mean, it's 9 years later and counting. But I am, according to doctors, critically ill. Every day that I get up and I can have any kind of semblance of a normal life, I count that a miracle. Now, I could do a whole lot of things with my time because I do not get paid to do this show. I'm doing this because I know what suffering feels like. Making bad decisions, not having people there to correct you and point you in the right direction, only people that's going to laugh, point their fingers and say, I told you so, and spread all of your failures all over town. I was used to that life. And so the pain of that life motivated me to try to stop other people from going through it because I know what it did to me. Now, some people may not understand that. And if you've never felt that kind of pain, that's wonderful. You keep listening to shows like this, buying certain kind of books like my book, Heart Strings, and some different books like that, and reading those, then maybe you never will. Maybe you never will. Some of you right now are in the throes of pain. You're lonely. You're kind of desperate. You need it. You don't want to admit it. You know, you're just going through, and you feel so lost because you don't even feel like you can go to God about it. Sweetie, it ain't nothing you can tell God that he doesn't already know. He knows everything about you, and he loves you regardless. And he wants you to come to him and talk to him about what you're going through. So today, let this end the separation of how you pray. If this is what's on your mind when you pray tonight, then you pray to your Father about it. You talk to him about it, and you leave it there. Guys, we're down to the last minute. Nobody pressed one, but you guys were listening. I see some little activity on the group, so I'm appreciative of that. And I love you guys. I appreciate you for listening. And I invite you to invite your friends over to catch this archive show. Thank you for being with me this Tuesday evening. Have a blessed and prosperous and productive day.